We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Koyach V'Harsho, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Tes. In the previous Shir, we began a discussion about Pesach, the holiday of Pesach, and showing the connection to Chapter 59 in Likutei Moran, which is entitled Heichal HaKodesh, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about bringing people close to Hashem. So we spoke yesterday about the topic of chametz, and now Rav Nosson Zal is going to continue clarifying the topic of chametz and matzah. V'zeh bechinas lechem oini, and with this we'll understand also why matzah is called poor bread, poor man's bread. V'ikra mitzvah b'matzah aniya, and the whole fulfillment of the mitzvah is by using poor bread. As avol b'matza ashira ein yoitzin, whereas if we use rich bread, we don't fulfill the mitzvah. In this case, matza ashira means where instead of being made just from flour and water, they used juice instead. Juice or eggs, they added eggs to it, anything like that, which enriches it. It makes it into a much more wealthier man's type of food. Ki matzah ashira, because what's referred to as matzah ashira, sometimes this is called egg matzahs, because that's one type of matzah ashira. Dahainu, sheniloisha b'shemen udvash umeperois, which means that we're talking about matzah where the dough was made with oil or honey or fruit juice. Eino bo lidei chimutz. That kind of dough can't ferment. It cannot become chametz. Ki ein lahachametz shlita bibchinas ashirus v'chanal. Because as we learned in the previous year, chametz cannot harm, cannot affect wealth. Once the wealth is there, the chametz can't harm it. The chametz can block a person from achieving wealth, from getting wealth, as we discussed previously, and Rav Nosson Zal will elaborate now. However, on that first night of Pesach, which is when we have a mitzvah d'oraisa of eating matzah, we do not fulfill that mitzvah with egg matzahs, or this matzah that's made with fruit juice or honey or things like that. Ki ato, because now, on that first night of Pesach, anu tzrichen lechol daiko lechem oini, we must eat poor bread, shemazkires ha'oini shebemitzrayim, which reminds us of the poverty, the slavery and poverty that we endured in Egypt, lehoirois, to show she'ato, that now adayin ein lanu ashirus, we do not have wealth yet. Because in Egypt we were extremely poor. Rak ato Hashem yisporach bechazdoi mamshich oleinu shefo hashirus. However, now on that first night of Pesach, Hashem is starting to send us a flow of wealth. Al kein, therefore, tzrichen lechol lechem hameshumor daika mechametz. We must eat bread, a type of bread that's guarded and protected from chametz. Dahainu lechem haniloish b'mayim, meaning a bread that's made from dough that's been kneaded with water. L'shomroi heitev mechametz. And we must take all the necessary steps to guard that dough, to protect that dough, that it shouldn't become chametz. Kedei shal yedei shmira hazois, Nishmor es shefa ho'ashirus habo leinu ato, so that by guarding those matzahs, by guarding it from chametz, we are actually guarding this flow of wealth that Hashem is starting to send down to us now on that first night of Pesach. L'shamra, to guard it, me'achizas hakas, from being harmed by anger. Shehu b'chinas chametz kanal, which is a form of chametz, as we learned in the previous year. The pasuk in Tehillim says, ki is chametz levavi. If I'll become angry, the term for anger is chimutz halev. that there's a sourness in the heart. The heart becomes spoiled. When the heart is doing well, there's love, there's goodwill, there's good feeling. There's something called nedivus lev, generosity, a feeling of goodwill. That's how the Mishkan was built. That's how the Beis Hamikdash was built, from the goodwill and love and generosity of all the Jewish people. The opposite of that is called chimutz halev, which means anger. So Rav Nosson Zal explained here that at this point in time, when Pesach is starting, we're not rich yet. We didn't get the wealth yet. We just came out of slavery, and Hashem wants to give us wealth. But as we learned in Likutei Moharan, that's a tremendous, dangerous moment, because when the Satan sees that wealth is supposed to come to a Jew, the Satan wants to flip it for anger, for kas. So there has to be a special shmirah from chametz. If we're eating egg matzah, so if we're eating a matzah type of bread that's made with it, that can't become chametz. It's not in the ballpark. It's a different animal completely. We have to deal with something that has a potential for chametz, and by avoiding chametz, that's how we fulfill the mission. Something that could be chametz, and we take all the proper steps to prevent it from coming chametz, by doing that, we will protect this wealth that Hashem wants to send to us at this point in time, will protect it from kas. But if you're eating strawberries or something else that has nothing to do with chametz, you're not involved in this process. You're not doing anything towards this goal. Paragraph Yud. V'alkein ikar shmira mechametz hu me'eis nesinas mayim bo'isa. And this will also explain why the most critical time when we have to guard this from becoming chametz is from the moment you've added the water to the flour. You've added water to that dough. From that point on, there's a clock ticking, and you have to make sure that the dough is constantly in motion. If you allow it to stand still for any period of time, it can become chametz. So those people that work in matzah bakeries know that from that moment that the water has been added to the mixture, they're careful to be working on the dough all the time. It's in movement and process until it's prepared into the flat matzahs that are put into the oven. And then also there's a timer on it, how long it can be in that oven, in order to avoid it becoming chametz. Why? Why is that the critical moment from when you add the water? Ki mayim hu bechinas shefa ha'elyona. Because water is symbolic of the sustenance that comes to us from above. Bechinas shefa ho'ashirus, the flow of wealth that Hashem wants to send down to the world, Hashem sends it down in the form of water. Ki kol ha'hashpois sheba'olam nimshochim u'gedelim al yidei ha'mayim shemegadlin u'matzmichin ha'kol. Because all sustenance that Hashem sends to the world is all dependent on and related to and grows through water. Water is what makes the whole plant kingdom, all vegetation and everything grow, which is what the animals eat, which is what we use. You know, that's the whole, the foundation of the food chain, and our sustenance is all tied into that water. Vafilu ashirus v'oitzrois nimshach al yidei mayim. And even wealth and treasure houses all are dependent on water. K'may shekosuv, as the Torah says, Yiftach Hashem lecho es oitzoroi hatoi v'sashamayim. May Hashem open up for you his wonderful treasury, loseis metar artzecha, to give you the rain that's needed for your land. So we see that again, wealth is synonymous with rain, with water. And as Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in the middle of chapter 60 in Likutei Moharan, Ayin Sham, take a look over there. And therefore, when we add water to that dough, that means that at that point, the wealth is being introduced into the picture. We're drawing a flow of wealth. V'ato, and now at this particular time, b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim, when the Jews are leaving Egypt, sheyoyred shefa godoil ve'elyoin moed, when there's this tremendous flow of wealth that Hashem wants to send down to us at that time, takeif kishemas chileyred shefa hazoyz boze oilam, as soon as that flow of wealth enters into this materialistic world, Dahainu be'es nesina samayim, which is represented by the moment we add the water to that dough, takeif tzrichin lishmor esoiso moed moed. From that point on, we must guard that dough very, very much. Shelo yisachiz boi avir veruach oilam, shelo nitar adayin mizuas Mitzrayim, that the air and the wind of the world, which has not yet become completely purified from the Tumah of Mitzrayim, that that air should not get into that dough, should not affect that dough. Shelo yahafoy cho'or v'hashef agdoil azois lekas, so that it shouldn't convert this light that Hashem is sending down, this flow of wealth, to convert it into anger. Shu b'chinas chometz, which is synonymous with chometz. Kimayim koilalim shtei bechinois, because water is one of those things that could go either way. Kimoy shekosov, as the pasuk says in Eov chapter 36, kivom yodin amim, because with this, with water, Hashem judges nations. Kama shepirish Rashi shem, as Rashi HaKadosh says over there, Moshel lenachtoim. This could be compared to a baker that's he's standing in front of his oven and he's baking delicious, delicious lachmaniot, delicious cakes or bread in there. So that Rashi says there, if he sees his enemy come in, what does he do? He puts something into the oven, he fishes out some hot coals, and he throws it at him, at his enemy. If he sees one of his good friends come in, what does he do? He puts something in there, he takes out one of those delicious lachmaniot, and he gives it to him. In other words, the baker has both, the oven has both. It's got the hot coals to throw at your enemy, and it's got those delicious fresh cakes to give to your friend. Rashi Kodesh says there, that's what the Pasuk says, Kivom Yodin Amim, with water, Hashem judges nations. Water is the symbol of wealth, prosperity, the Oitzratay, the wonderful, the rain upon which everything is dependent on. And water is the flood. The Mabul was water. And we see countless, and Sodom and Amorah were destroyed by a flood of hot sulfur and boiling water, all of these things that destroyed them. So the water can go either way. Ki kol ha-hashpois yorden alidei mayim, because all sustenance comes down from heaven in the form of water. V'chol ha-onshim, and all punishments, shehim b'chinas charoi naf, which are a display of the anger of Hashem, afheim alidei mayim, they also come in the form of water. Alkein, therefore, me'eis nesinas hamayim, from the moment that we put the water into the dough, from the moment that we introduce the water to the picture, tzrichin lishmor ho'iso, we have to guard that dough, shehu halechem, which is going to result in the bread, the matzah, shehu b'chinas ho'ashirus, which represents the wealth, l'shomroi moed, to guard it very carefully, me'achizas hakas, from being harmed by anger, which is represented by that chometz, that fermentation process, where the air gets in and the dough rises. Shehu bechinas chometz kanal. Paragraph Yud Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'al kein, and based on what we're learning here, you'll understand why chometz is different than everything else. Chometz bepesach b'mashehu. Chametz is considered a sin on Pesach, even the tiniest, tiniest drop of it. Masha'en kein shari surim, versus other types of things that are forbidden according to the Torah. Shebetelim b'shishim, where in most cases, if you have a non-kosher piece of meat or a non-kosher something else that falls into a large pot with is 60 times as much kosher as the non-kosher, and you can't differentiate, you can't recognize the non-kosher from the kosher, the law is that usually, in many cases, if there's 60 times as much, the non-kosher becomes kosher. Whereas when it comes to chametz, just about all opinions agree that if you have a huge pot, if you have a hotel and they're cooking for 800 guests, and they're making that chicken soup for the 800 guests that they're going to eat on that first night on the Seder night, and the tiniest little drop of challah, of bread falls into there, bingo, the whole thing is out. It's off limits. Interesting, we have an opportunity to sneak in a little story here, because again, every rule has its exception. There's one opinion in the Gemara, one opinion in Shas, called Rabbi Achoy Goin, I believe it is, who says that chametz can also become botel b'shishim. There is a concept of a, but all opinions disagree with him, and in halacha and Shulchan Aruch, everybody disagrees, and everybody knows that chametz is b'mashahu. There's a story that once an almana, a widow, who had 8 children, 10 children, came crying to a rabbi hysterically on Erev Pesach. What should she do? She has nothing. She's a widow, orphans. They live on nothing all year round. They live on donations, you know, meager nothing. And here people helped them, gave them a little bit of money for Pesach, and she prepared in one pot. She put everything she had, the carrots and the celery and the tiny little piece of chicken, everything, her whole Pesach is in that pot. And accidentally, somehow, how could it be, a tiny drop of chametz fell into the pot? What should she do? If this pot is treif, she has no Pesach. They'll starve, period. And she's crying, and the rabbi listens to her, and the rabbi says, let me see what I can do. And he goes into his library, and he pulls out one sefer and another sefer, and he's trying to do anything he possibly can. And he comes across this Rabbi Achoy going that there's this one rabbi who says chametz is batel b'shishim. And he says, again, here we're dealing with an almana and her whole pesach. You know, the rabbi was able to put together like 20 different elements, 20 different things, to be able to build a heter that in this particular case only, for this particular family, he was able to say they could eat it based on Rabbi Achoy. You know. And if I recall correct, Rav Rosenfeld told this story, and if I recall correctly, he said either when this rabbi passed away or he had a dream, when this rabbi passed away, right before he went to the heavenly court, this tzaddik Rabbi Achoy Gon came out to meet him, to greet him, and he said to him, I couldn't wait to see you, to greet you, because you're the first rabbi in history in the past 500 years that ever paskin, that ever used my psak, you know, and I want to congratulate you, and I'll stand by your side, I'll do anything I can to help you, you know. But again, other than that one exception in the history of the world, the general consensus is that chametz is b'masho, that chametz is stricter than just about anything else in Yiddishkeit. Why? Rav Nosson Zal says, let me explain. Kimevoyer b'hatoyra hanal, because in that chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 59, which this halacha is based on, Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, inyan bitul ho'isur b'shishim, the whole concept of how it's possible to negate, to nullify something that's treif, to nullify it when there's 60 times as much kosher. Shehu bechinas shishim hema malachos. Rabbeinu Zal there quotes the pasuk that 60 represents malchus, bechinas igula veribua, which represents the circle and the square inside of it, bechinas mem vesamach shebeluchos, which corresponds to the two letters on the tablets in which Hashem gave us the Torah, where the Gemara says two of those letters were miracles. How it was possible for those letters to exist. Because a mem sofit and a samach, if you engrave, if you carve it out, if you cut it out in the stone, the middle piece of that mem or the middle piece of that samach has nothing to stand on. It's standing in midair. It's suspended in midair. And the Gemara says, Mem v'samach b'luchais b'nes hoyoyimdim. That those letters on the luchais were a miracle. It was a miracle. It was only by the miracle of Hashem that little piece of stone in middle of the mem sofit, or in middle of the samach, was able to be suspended there in midair, you know, and stood by itself. And Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this there in chapter 59 in the Likutei Moran. And Rabbeinu Zal explains, Shezeh nimshach al yidei eish hamishpat, that all of these things, the concept of Bitul Isur B'shishim and all of these things are achieved through the fire of Mishpat. When there's judgment, when there's justice, when a person audits themselves on a regular basis, Ayin Shom Heitev, look over there in Likutei Moran well, to know what I'm referring to, Rav Nosson Zal says. So we see that there is a power of Mishpat that has the ability to negate, to knock out Isur, to take something that's Tamei Osur and neutralize it completely, to make it powerless, where that Isur cannot harm the mixture that it's in whatsoever. Aval. However, Rav Nosson Zal says, Isur Chometz Nimshach Mehorishoim She'ein Eish HaMishpot Moyelohem. Over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal explains that most Rishoim, most people that are bad, it's possible to cure. It's possible to be Makarev them. It's possible through Mishpot, through this Eish HaMishpot, that if the person who's trying to be Makarev them is careful to audit himself all the time on a daily basis, he activates this power of Mishpat. This Mishpat has the ability to eliminate the negativity, the bad things, the sins, the evil that's attached to these people who he's being Makariv. But Rabbeinu Zal says there at the end of that chapter in the Likutei Moran, however, there are certain Rishoim, there are the exceptions to this rule, where even the Eish HaMishpat can't neutralize their Ra. They represent that category of one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. And therefore, a person is not supposed to be Makar of them, not supposed to introduce them to the equation. Shehein Bechinas Erev Rav. An example of this is the Erev Rav, the Egyptians who snuck out of Egypt together with the Jews, claiming to want to be converts. They're converts, they want to join the Jewish people, they're going to be good, they're going to be religious. Shehem bebechinas, they are in the category about which the Pasuk says, Yochilu derochov becholeis moroim mishpotecho minegdoi. Kemoshekosov sham besoif hatoiranal. As Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this at the end of chapter 59 in the Likutei Moran, that there are certain Rishoim who, when they are experiencing their success and everything, the Mishpat can't get them. The Mishpat cannot harm them or control them or eliminate that Ra in any way. They're above Mishpat at that point in time. When they're riding high, the Mishpat can't do anything to them. Umishom Iker Isur Chometz. And that's where the whole concept of chametz comes from. Kamesha Kosov, as the Torah tells us, that when the Jews left Egypt, vegam erev rav olo itam, that there were these other guys, there was the erev rav that also joined them in leaving Egypt. And then right after that it says, vayoifu es habotzeik ugois matzois ki loy chametz. And the Jews were forced to make matzah. They couldn't have chametz, Ki gorshu mi Mitzrayim, because the Jews were chased out of Egypt, v'lo yochlu lismameya, and they couldn't wait. It wasn't possible to wait for the dough to rise or anything like that. V'gam tzeido lo yosolim, and they didn't make any other provisions. They just made matzahs quickly on the run and ran out. Hainu, Rav Nosson Zal explains, she'ikr isur hechometz hu machmas ho'erev rav sholeitam. What the Torah is showing us by putting these two things together, that the Erev Rav came out with them and they had to have matzah, not chametz, is to show us that what chametz, The fact that we're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach is machmas ha'erev Rav Sholitom, is because of these super rishoim, this erev Rav, who came out of Egypt with the Jews, shayideze lo yochlu lehitoher b'shleimus mizua mas Mitzrayim. That's what made it, that when the Jews left Egypt, they were not lily white. They were not totally pure. There was a bunch of impurity that was still attached to them in the form of this erev Rav. And it's for this reason that they had to leave Egypt on the run. They had to run out of there like bandits. And that's why they were forced to work very, very quickly to take the flow of Shefa that Hashem was sending them and to make sure to turn it into quick food, to turn it into matzah, real quick food, in order to protect it from the air, from the Ruach Ra that was still prevalent, because the air of Rav was there at the time, so that it shouldn't turn into chametz, which means that that flow of Shefa that Hashem was sending down should not chas v'shalom turn into kas, anger, machmas shehoruach v'ho'avir einoy tohor, because the air was not yet pure. There was still junk in the air. There were still problems in the air. Machmas zuamas o'erev rav sheyotzu imem, because of the tumma, the filth of the erev rav that left Egypt together with the Jews, shehorah shelohem loy nichnav nisbatel alidei esh hamishpot, where their evil cannot be subdued, cannot be eliminated by the fire of Mishpat. It can't work on them at that point in time. Vaydeze tzrichim kol hanefoshoy shebchinas hechel hakodesh lishmo resatzma moed. And that's why all the Jewish souls, which represent this hechel hakodesh, as long as that Ra is in full power, full strength, we have to protect and guard those Jewish souls, lishmor esatz mamoid, to guard themselves tremendously, shezeo b'chinas ha'azhora mechometz v'kanal. That's what's behind this whole concept that on Pesach we have to be super, super careful to watch out, to clean out every iota, every tiny drop of chometz, because of the fact that we're building this Hechel HaKodesh. Hashem one is about to send down a flow of Shefa, Ashirus, which can in 1 second switch from Choyma to Chema, can become Kas, can become Dinim, especially if there's regular Ra that's there, we can address that through Mishpat. The fire of Mishpat will deal with it. But there is a level of Ra that's so bad, Rabbeinu Zal tells us there on the Qumran, that even the fire of Mishpat can't deal with it, can't neutralize it. And therefore you have to stay away from it, keep far away from it. That Ra was symbolized in this case by the Erev Rav that was attached to Klal Yisrael at the time. And therefore the Jews had to avoid Chametz completely, to stay far, far away from any potential of something of Kas, of Dinim, that could harm this flow of Shefa. Rav Nosson Zalei adds here in parentheses, Vahovein hadvorim ma'oid. Understand what I'm saying here very, very well, because Rav Nosson Zal is teaching us something here that's extremely important in showing us how to deal with serious situations. Va'ayin heitev b'hatoiranal. Study that chapter on Likut Imran, Torah Nun Tes, very well. Vahovein shom v'kan ma'oid. And based on what Rav Nosson Zal explained here, you'll be able to understand the chapter on Likut Imran very, very well, and you'll be able to understand what Rav Nosson Zal is saying here very well. V'chein muva b'Zohar HaKodesh. And Rav Nosson Zal says, if you look in the Zohar HaKodesh says something along these lines also. Shepegam ho'erev rav, hu b'chinas pegam hechometz. The Zohar HaKodesh makes a connection between the Erev Rav and Chometz, Bechinas, because we find that one of the worst things that the Erev Rav did to the Jewish people was when they convinced us, when the Jews saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had not come back, when they thought he said he would come back, when they saw that he was being delayed, the pasuk says, "Vayar ha'om ki voishesh Moshe." The people saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was being delayed, was not coming, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, whenever it says the word ha'om, the people, it refers to the Erev Rav. It doesn't say Bnei Yisrael, it says ha'om, they, the people, referring to, when the Erev Rav saw this, what did they see? Boishesh. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Boishesh. They saw that the sixth hour had arrived, noon, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there yet. The Afroshu Bein Sheish L'Sheva. The Zohar HaKadosh says their mistake, their sin, was regarding the difference between the sixth hour and the seventh hour. What's the difference between the sixth hour and the seventh hour? Bechinas Chametz. The difference is regarding Chametz. Sheneesor Berega Shebein Sheish L'Sheva. When does Chametz become forbidden? Midoraisa. Midoraisa? The second after the sixth hour, from 12 noon, 1 second after that, when we enter into the seventh hour, bam, that's when chametz is really forbidden midoraisa. The rabbis pushed it back to the fifth hour, to the fourth hour, but officially midoraisa, that's the time. And that's what the Erev Rav was connected to. Bechinas kivoy sheish, bechinas chametz, Shenase al yedei ichur u'shehiyah, because we know how do you make chametz? By waiting, by delaying, by procrastinating. That's how chametz is made, by letting the dough wait and sit until it ferments and rises. V'alkein ein chametz mizbatel b'shishim, and it's for this reason that chametz is different from all other things. That if chametz does not become nullified when it falls into 60 times as much of something else. Ki bitul shishim hu rak b'mokoyim shemoyil eish hamishpat, kemavur b'tarnal. Because this ability, that when you have 60 times as much kosher as non-kosher, the kosher can nullify the non-kosher, that only works where the Eish HaMishpat works, where Mishpat can work, where there's a concept of justice and judgment that can be applied. Kimavur Bahatoranal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran, Aval Chametz, whereas this Isur of Chametz, Shenimshach Mebechina So Erev Rav, which is coming from the Erev Rav, She'ein Moyelohem Eish HaMishpat, where they represent a level of evil, where you can't bring them to court, you can't bring them to trial. They're so powerful, they can turn the trial, they can turn the court against, you know, they can turn things upside down. Al kein bevadai einoy mizbatel b'shishim. Therefore, their evil, their tumah cannot be nullified with this power of 60, shehu bechinas igula v'ribua, which represents the concept of mishpat, which is represented by a circle. A circle is a samach in Hebrew. A circle is the letter samach, which is 60. And the ribua, the square inside of the circle, which Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there in Likut Imran. Al kein osur b'mashehu. It's for this reason that when it comes to chametz, the 60 rule doesn't work. Even the tiniest drop can make a whole big pot unkosher, chas v'shal. Paragraph Yud Beis. V'zeh b'chinas. And this is what the pasuk says. Rosho kegoiva apoy bal yidrosh. A rosho, when his anger is at a high, bal yidrosh, you know, keep back, stay far away. Yochilu drochov b'chol eis. His path is very successful at times. Moroim mishpotecho minegdoi. And your mishpot can't get to him. Your mishpot is above him. It can't lock him in. It can't bring about his downfall, the downfall of the Russia. Ze bechina so erev rav. An example of this is the Erev Rav, Shemoroim Mishpotov Mehem, where during that period of time that they were with Klal Yisrael, even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't control them. They were a terrible, terrible plague that accompanied the Jews out of Egypt and continued time and time again to get Klal Yisrael into trouble in the Midbar. All the trouble came from them. They were the instigators. Shemoroi Mishpot of Mehem, where the Mishpot of Hashem is removed from them. Ki ein moyelohem eisha mishpot kanal, because the usual fire of mishpot, that power of mishpot, doesn't work on them. Veze bechinas yochilu, and this is what the word yochilu means. Dahainu hatzlocha, success. That these rishoim, there are certain times when they're experiencing success, and we can't stop them. Shegam heim ashirim gedolim. There are times when we see them being very wealthy. You see people who are really evil, wicked people, and they got all the wealth. They're in power. The one who's running Syria, he's got billions of dollars at his disposal that he can use to hire mercenaries, to fight a war. One person's got billions and trillions of dollars and oil reserves and everything, and they can use that. Vesehu Rosho Kegoiva Apoi. This is the example of the Rosho when his power of kas is so great that he's on top. Kiho Ashirus Shel Horishoim Bechinas Erev Rav Hu Bechinas Kas V'Charoinaf. Because the wealth of these wicked people, like the Erev Rav, their wealth is synonymous with anger. Hepech Ho Ashirus Digdusha Shel Yisrael, which is the opposite of Jewish wealth, shenimshach rak al yidei kevishas kas v'charoinaf, which can only be attained when a person controls his anger, when a person overcomes his anger and eliminates his anger. Aval etzlom, whereas by the sitra achro, ho ashirus al yidei charoinaf, their wealth comes through anger. They achieve their wealth through anger and rage and stealing and all of this. V'alkein, and therefore, be'emes, ne'mor be'em, the truth is that the Torah writes about them, gam kol yomov kas u'machoivos, that their whole life is full of anger and suffering and unhappiness. Ki hagedula v'hashiru shelohem hu bi'atzmoi kas mamush, because the greatness and wealth of these Rishoim is anger. You see that they're not happy people. They're not sweet people. They're people who are always anger, negative, hateful, resentful. Ki hagedula v'ashiru sholehem. Exactly. Ki v'ashiru kozen amar. And about that kind of wealth, the Torah says about it, oisher shomur lebolov lerosoi, that this is a wealth that's reserved, that's designated for the one who acquires it to harm them. It's not a favor, it's not a blessing to them, it's a curse to them. Ze bechinas kas. The word ro'osoi, ra, we know is synonymous with kas, shenikro ro, which is called ro. Kamei shekosuv, as the pasuk says, v'hoser kas milibecho, v'haver ro mibsorecho. You will remove the anger from your heart and you will remove the evil from your flesh. So we see that ra is kas. And again, there's a wealth that's designated for those people for their ra, for their kas. K'mei shekos of Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likut Imran. U'machmaseh, and for this reason, ato, nowadays, roiv hu ashirus, Eitzel ho'akum v'orishoim. The majority of the wealth of the world is found by people who do not believe in Hashem, not religious Jews, by idol worshippers and evil people, all kinds of evil people. U'bnei Yisrael haksherim rubom aniyim. Whereas the religious Jews, the real religious Jews, most of them are poor. Ki bnei Yisrael haksherim Einom yecholim liskois lashirus kim al yedei kvishas kas, because real religious Jews can only achieve wealth if they succeed in conquering anger completely, if they eliminate anger completely, ki ashirus shelohem, because our wealth, ashirus digdusha, holy wealth, shoyresh hanefoshois, which is comes from the same source as the souls come from the throne of Hashem, shenimshach al yidei kvishas kas daiko. The only way to get that kind of wealth is when one succeeds in conquering their anger completely. When one is zeichet to pure, pure mishpat, when one does not judge Hashem, they're not angry at Hashem for any reason, they're not angry at anybody. They audit themselves all the time, and the only one they blame for their imperfections is themselves. And even there, they don't get into depression, they don't get angry, they try to improve. Every day they try to work on themselves, to audit themselves, to see what I'm doing wrong, what I could be doing better, and to try to improve, but never going anywhere near anger. Avol harishoyim hagdoilim, whereas the evil, the real great rishoyim, bechinas erev rav, who are like the erev rav, kol ashirusam hu bi'atzmoy kas kanal, their wealth is kas. Notice here again, there's two faucets, hot and cold. You can choose where to get it from. The religious Jews get it from the cold faucet, and therefore they have to stay away from that fire, that kas. The rishoyim take it from the other faucet. And they think it's the same. It's no big deal. There's two, four. You can pick and choose, and they're both good. They don't know that there's vast differences between the two. That the wealth that they get, it looks like wealth. It looks like something which you can be happy with and fulfilled and satisfied. But by them, the more wealth they have, the more angry, unhappy, unfulfilled, jealous, all the evil characteristics is associated with their wealth. As Rav Nosson Zal is about to show very clearly. Ubeemes, and the truth is, Einoi Ashirus Klal, that their wealth is not wealth at all. Ki kol yomov kasum achoivos, because their life is full of anger, suffering, never happy, never satisfied. They go on vacation, they come back grumpy. It was the worst vacation I've had. That hotel stinks. The food stinks. They cheated me. I'm going to sue them in court. He's suing the hotel and suing the... That. That's what their life is all about. V'hurak lefi shor. If they experience any wealth or any seeming enjoyment, it's momentary, it's temporary. Kemoy hakas, just like rage and anger. Shehu charoinaf, hamizgadel umizgaber lefi shor, which is a temporary explosion. It's an explosion that lasts a couple of minutes, whatever. Bebechinas ruach sora, like a storm wind, a hurricane, a tornado, a tsunami. V'achar kach, kol avenevad, but it's got a timer on it. It finishes. It goes away after a certain period of time. Ki ragzon, because the Gemara says a person who has a bad temper, lo yolsa beyodoy ela ragzanusoy. All he achieves with his bad temper is bad temper. That's all that's going to come out of it. He ain't going to get any blessing from that. Kain ashirusam, so too their wealth, anything that they acquire with their anger and with their midos rois, shehu b'chinas roiges v'kas, their wealth, which is a display of their anger and their midos rois, einoi nishar b'yodam, they never get to hold on to it, they never retain it. Adarabba, just the opposite, oikeres oisom mishnei oilomois, their wealth destroys their future world and even their present world. Their wealth makes it that they don't experience any real satisfaction, enjoyment, pleasure that has any lasting effect even while they're living in this world. As the Pasuk says, Ki hu lo yolin ba'amoloi, he doesn't even get to spend the night with his efforts. He works so hard, and he figures at least he's going to have one night of pleasure from it. Doesn't even get that much out of it. He retains nothing in his hands. He doesn't get to hold on to anything. He kills himself to get this wealth, and then it just seeps out of his hand. He doesn't get to enjoy it in any way. Aval ashirus digdusha shel Yisrael, whereas holy wealth of Jews who live properly, shenimshach al yedei kvishas kas, which is attained by overcoming anger, hu shoyresh hanefesh, that wealth is rooted in the same place of holiness where the souls are rooted. V'zoich al yedei zeh l'shnei olamos. And a person who attains that kind of wealth enjoys life in this world and is zoicha to the next world. Ki marbe bitztoko al yedei ashirusoi. Because when he attains wealth, he gives a lot of charity, and there's nothing more enjoyable than life than giving. Rav Nosson Zal writes in the Kutei Halachos, people are stupid, people don't know. They think that when you're giving away, who wants to give away? Giving away makes people sick and angry. And when you get, when you take, that's real pleasure. I took this, I was able to take that piece of property from him, and I took this and I took that. They don't know that it's up there, they're standing upside down. They're standing on their head. That the real reality is, for those who live properly, there's nothing more satisfying than having the opportunity to give to whoever it is, to give to a wife, children, friends, poor people, anything. And when a person has to take, if there's any pleasure, it's momentary. And then the person feels like garbage because they're on the take. They have to receive. V'gam megadel ha-nefesh v'hashem digdusho al yedei ashirus. And in addition, Rabbein Azal shows there in the Kutei Maran that when a Jew, a religious Jew, achieves wealth properly, that wealth elevates the soul and the name of the person, the honor and glory of the person. And that enables him to bring many, many people close to Hashem, because it's like a magnet. It's a koyach ha-moshech. Wealth attracts people. Which kind of wealth? If it's kosher wealth, if it's wealth of blessing, it brings people close to Hashem. If it's garbage wealth, if it's the wealth from the sitrach or from kas, the person thinks they have friends. The people are friends for a minute or two. The minute anything changes, they'll put him in the garbage. Or the minute they can take from him, they'll take whatever they can take. Valashirus kozois nemar. And about that kind of wealth, about wealth, holy wealth, the pasuk says, hoin oshir kiryas uzoi. The wealth of a wealthy person is his fortress, is a powerful fortress that surrounds him and protects him. Ukechoimon is gova, and it's like a tall wall, like the wall surrounding the old city in Yerushalayim. It's this powerful wall that protects him from anything. V'alkein, and that's why nismach roshe kegoiva apoy leposik yochilu drochov. Rav Nosson says, now you'll understand why these two psukim that he mentioned earlier are written right next to each other in Tehillim. One pasuk says, the Rasha with his great anger. And the next pasuk says, he experiences success. You can't judge him, you can't stop him, you can't control him in any way. Shehu hatzlochas harosho bashiras godol. That pasuk is referring to the success of the Rasha, that sometimes you see Rishoyim achieving great wealth. You know why? Because his wealth is created, is generated through anger, through midos rois. V'chein kol inyan hamizmor medaber shom mizeh. Rav Nosson says, so too, if you take a look in that chapter of Tehillim where these psukim appear, it's all revolving around this concept. Migoidel hatzlochas harosha, speaking about the great success of the wicked people. Shehumole kas tomid. And what kind of wicked are we talking about? People who are always angry, unhappy, dissatisfied. Kamesh Kosov Shama, as the Pasuk says there, Ki ato omol vochas tabit loses biodecha. Because you, your work is filled with anger, and you're looking to take with that anger, to fill your hands with that. Hainu shakosuv mitameha. The pasuk there is expressing wonderment. Shaharosho shamolei kas, that this evil person who is full of anger and negativity, v'yafal pikein Hashem yisborach noisen loy biyodei ashirus kozeh, and despite that, Hashem gives him all of this incredible wealth. Aval basoif. However, if you look at the end of that chapter, Messiah, he concludes, Lishboit Yosoim Vodoch. But Hashem will judge regarding the orphans and the poor people. Ki soif kol soif, Yizgaber Eish HaMishpot Shel Mashiach Tzidkenu. Because in the very end, the Mishpot, which will be activated through Moshiach, Moshiach is going to be the ultimate king of Klal Yisrael. There's a pasuk, Melech b'mishpot yamid eretz. The king with mishpot, with justice and with judgment, will establish the country, the world. The fire of mishpot of Moshiach will come, v'yaroitz enoish min horetz, and remove these characters from the world, evict them from the world. Dehainu sheyeshaber v'yachnia sorishon. It will destroy and bring about the downfall of these evil people, the Yatzil Es Yisrael, and rescue and save the Jewish people, Sheheim Ato Aniyim, who are now charity cases in a state of poverty. You have the land of Eretz Yisrael surrounded by Saudi Arabia and all of these billion-dollar countries with their oil reserves and their this and their princes, who are living on billions and billions of dollars, and you have this little poor charity case who's looking to America for donations, and this one for donations. Yatzileim mehorah shelohem. Moshiach will save Klal Yisrael from the evil of all of these Rishoyim, v'yashpia liYisrael kol ho'ashirus, and will bring to the Jewish people all of the wealth. Ki ikar shleimus hamishpot, Yihyeh al yedei Moshiach, because the real perfection of this mishpat that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there in Likut Imran that we discussed previously here will be achieved through Moshiach. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says about Moshiach, Yishpoit aniyam, Moshiach will judge the poor people of Klal Yisrael. Uchsiv, and the pasuk says, V'shofat betzedek dalim, he will judge with righteousness those who are poorest, those who are weak. He'll set the record straight. Moshiach will fix the balance sheets. Uchsiv, and as the pasuk says, Tzion b'mishpot tipode, the city of Yerushalayim will be redeemed with mishpot. V'chein harbe, and there are many psukim like this throughout the Torah. Hainu kanal, this fits in beautifully with everything we learned in these past shiurim. V'ayin heitev b'toranal, Rav Nosson Zal says, study chapter 59 in Likut Imran well, v'hovein, and you will understand what we're saying here very clearly. We'll hold it over here. Rav Nosson Zal is going to continue explaining the holiday of Pesach and showing how the connection between this chapter 59 in Likut Imran and every single aspect and mitzvah of the holiday of Pesach. Baruch Hashem.